step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
At the tone, the time will be exactly...
Time for the Mo Kelly Show.
Set it off, Mr. Mo Kelly.
Mo Kelly
Show.
Turn it up, baby!
Mo Kelly.
Here we go again.
Mo Kelly
Show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Mo Kelly.
KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is year 10 of the Mo Kelly Show. Happy birthday to the Mo Kelly Show, and special thanks to Tawala Sharp for always keeping this program moving forward. But let's get to business. It was a weird, weird week in a media sense. Well, more weird than the average weird we're accustomed to. There were two dueling media narratives. There was the Hunter Biden book tour. That was weird. He was on CBS News. He was on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't think of Hunter Biden as a celebrity, but America does on some level. He's best known for being a drug addict, sleeping with his dead brother's widow, and cheating on his later wife with the aforementioned dead brother's widow. I talked about all this in depth on my Twitter feed, at Mr. Mo Kelly, but I found it really odd that Hunter Biden was able to parlay being a despicable human being into a $2 million book deal advance and now into appearances on late night television. That's one presentation of Hunter Biden this week. And then there was the counter-programming presentation of Hunter Biden, the one where Fox News gnashed its teeth about what supposedly was left out of Hunter Biden's memoir, as if Hunter Biden was hiding all the really bad stuff to make him look less of a D-bag than he really is. I'm here to tell you, trust me, he is a D-bag, and he's not made to look any less of a D-bag in his book, from what I know. But Hannity and Tucker Carlson were posting promo stills of Hunter having threesomes as part of their discussions of how bad a person he is. It just got me thinking about how much more down the road of the absurd we've gone. Here's what I mean. Hunter Biden isn't special. Not at all. You only think Hunter is special if you've never heard of Billy Carter, late brother to President Jimmy Carter. Billy Carter would have been a superstar in today's world of dysfunction and social media dystopia. Billy Carter had a federal inquiry into his ties to Libya, which provided what he said was a $220,000 loan to him. Yeah, say it with me, a loan. $220,000 in 1970s money. He eventually repaid only $1,000 of the original $220,000. He visited Libya in 78 and 79. That's during his brother's presidency. When he got the loan, he had a brokerage arrangement to obtain Libyan oil, profiting. At the time, Libya was trying to obtain American transport planes. Quid pro quo, anyone? Billy was a registered agent for people directly connected to Colonel Gaddafi. You don't hear me. He was a registered agent for Libya connected to Colonel Gaddafi while his brother was president trying to get... Never mind. You may not be old enough to remember. But in 1979, on December 2nd, thousands of anti-American demonstrators attacked the U.S. embassy, practically burning it to the ground. Billy Carter made derogatory public remarks about Jewish people. He urinated on the runway in full view of the press and dignitaries awaiting Libyans who were arriving to meet with him. He even ran for mayor of Plains, Georgia once upon a time. But here's the difference. But America had sense enough to not elect that fool mayor. Not even dog catcher could he have won. Note the difference. Hunter Biden has nothing on Billy Carter. Billy Carter was also an alcoholic. Then there's that other parallel to Hunter Biden. It was well known, and not lore, but well known, Billy drank beer for breakfast, no exaggeration. And Billy even had his own beer label for a while, which is called, say it with me, Billy Beer. He had tax liens of over $100,000. And I mention all of that because Billy Carter did not end up on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. His book about his struggles with alcoholism wasn't even published until after he was dead, not during his brother's presidency. Do you see the difference? Our ideas of celebrity and even scandal were just so different then. They were almost like defendable back then. I remember all this like it was yesterday. Billy Carter would be an absolute star in today's social media world, and it boggles my mind. I'm sure he's rolling over in his grave wondering how Hunter Biden and even Donald Trump, I didn't say junior, I said senior, Donald Trump managed to happen, talking about scandal. I'm sure Billy thinks he was born and died too soon to reap the benefits of his own dysfunction. And let's flip it. Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz, with what he's going through right now and the latest Venmo revelations, he would have been out of Congress in 1979, post haste. He would have resigned or have been forced to resign a long time ago. So why am I comparing the two, you're probably thinking? Good question. But the answer is I'm really not comparing them. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about how it's the same America which says Hunter Biden is a worthy guest on Jimmy Kimmel. That America is the same America which is unmoved by accusations of sexual scandal now and keeps Matt Gaetz in office. Do you see how it works together? Both happen and can only happen in today's America. There were stills of a Hunter Biden threesome on a major cable news channel multiple times, which would have been described as indecent porn back in 1979. Talking about a guy who got a $2 million advance to write a book about how broken he was, and that dude even got invited on Jimmy Kimmel to talk about how he had a thing with his dead brother's wife. Twice. Matt Gaetz is a sitting U.S. congressman who may be indicted soon for sex trafficking and is under an ethics investigation announced yesterday for sharing porn on the floor of Congress and other things. And not only is he not resigning, his supporters will go to the mat for him. It says more about who we are as a country, who we are as a people, our values, more than anything else. And although both of them are quote-unquote political figures, Hunter Biden is the son of President Joe Biden. He is a private citizen, but we view him through a political context. And of course, sitting U.S. Congressman Matt Gaetz. Although we may view those individuals through a political context, I think they open a window into our world as far as what we view as worthy of emulation, what we view as worthy of celebration, who is a celebrity, who we reward and put on a pedestal, and who we rally to protect. I think it says a lot about us as a nation right now. And I don't think any of it is good. This is the Mo Kelly Show, and I'm going to highlight that point in the next segment. Caitlyn Jenner, she might be running for governor. Imagine that. This is the Mo Kelly Show, year 10, KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Mo Kelly Show. So the word is that Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Brad Parscale, is advising Caitlyn Jenner on a potential run for governor of California. I know you've seen the story by now. And you may remember Parscale. He's the one who had that episode, my word, in which the police were called to his residence in Florida. There was a concern he was either going to hurt himself or someone else or both. That Brad Parscale. Now, he has been linked to Caitlyn Jenner. And on the surface, that's not odd. It's not unusual for campaign managers to informally meet with or advise potential future candidates. It's kind of like a mutual job interview from how I would describe it. The advisor gets a real feel for the person and how serious he or she is about running for office, how ready he or she is about being a potential candidate, and that potential candidate gets to see where their vision is shared or not by the advisor. It really isn't that big a deal on its face, but let's dig deeper. Brad Parscale knows how to leverage celebrity. Nobody in the world, and I mean nobody, thinks that Caitlyn Jenner is somehow qualified to run California. But this is California. This is post-Arnold Schwarzenegger being governor. This is post-Jesse Ventura being governor of Minnesota. This is post-Ronald Reagan being governor and president, and post-Donald Trump being president. But all of them had more celebrity working for them than practical experience. It's not a guarantee. It's no guarantee that she would win in a recall election, but it helps more than it hurts, and I think we can agree upon that. Name recognition and people wanting to elect people just to inject chaos, we've seen it before. These are real things. She only needs to be the top vote getter of the choices to replace Gavin Newsom, and that's assuming if he's recalled, and she would be our next governor. Name recognition does matter. California has precedent for doing stuff like this in specifically a recall election. She would be running, if she were to, she would be running as a Republican and has long been a Republican. And she is not well liked within the trans community from what I know. That would be definitely working against her in a state like California. But I get why she and Brad Parscale would at least have that sit down meeting. This is where politics is going for the foreseeable future. Big picture. I'm talking big picture. And I'll give you some more examples. Tommy Tuberville. He wasn't a celebrity in the traditional sense, but he was a prominent college football coach from the SEC. And if you know anything about college football, the SEC, down south, college football coaches are bigger than celebrities down there. They are the prime celebrities down south. Tommy Tuberville, and I mean this respectfully, he is as dumb as a box of rocks outside of football. I mean that respectfully. But he just got elected senator for Alabama in 2020. No experience needed, and there he is. And then there's this. According to a new online survey, so take it for what it's worth, meaning it's not a scientifically conducted poll, but I would look at it as a form of anecdotal research nonetheless. It gives you a little insight. The poll released Tuesday from consumer research platform PeopleSay, which is PeopleSay, finds that 58% of respondents said that they would like to see actors Matthew McConaughey launch a Texas gubernatorial bid and Dwayne The Rock Johnson run for president. That is absolute madness and insanity. Absolute freaking madness. It says a lot of things. It says we have little understanding of how our own government works, and we have little respect for politicians or little belief in the idea of competency. Really loving the state of Texas doesn't mean you should consider being the chief executive of the state and responsible for managing crises, managing budgets, general oversight of the state executive branch, or writing executive orders, because being a governor, that's the job description. Matthew McConaughey is a fine actor, and he has really, really weird, borderline, stalker-esque, creepy Lincoln Continental commercials. They're good, but they're stalker-esque and they're creepy. But all that together, that does not a political resume make. Being a professional pretender, and that's what actors are, professional pretenders, that only means that I can't trust you. I shouldn't trust you. You make a career, you've made a living out of making stuff up and being people that you're not. And along with that, it definitely doesn't mean I should trust that he's capable of handling a statewide electrical grid failure, you know, like what they just had in Texas, just because he did a good job in Dallas Buyers Club or shows up to Texas Longhorn games. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson, for everyone I've talked to who's ever met him, and I've only met him super briefly once, and that was right outside of iHeartMedia Studios. Everyone I've talked to said he's a genuinely great person. But that doesn't mean he's up to the task to running this country. Doesn't mean that he can handle domestic policy, foreign policy, immigration policy. It just means we like his persona. But going back to Caitlyn Jenner and running for governor, yes, it makes perfect sense that she's considering it. Kanye West had a fake candidacy for president. Same family. Don't be surprised if Kim Kardashian herself starts planning the idea that she may someday run for office. It's what we are as a country now. Celebrities are supposedly our royalty. It's what we have more so than any other country. We treat celebrities differently. As much as some people say to them to shut up about politics or stay in their lane, we still put them on a pedestal. We still give them preferential treatment. And when we come back, I'll further make that case with the most recent news surrounding Tiger Woods this week. This is the Mo Kelly Show, KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Mo Kelly Show. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know I've been pretty neutral surrounding Tiger Woods. I appreciate his greatness, but didn't really spend too much time talking about his marital issues. His comeback, on the other hand, that was a great story.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
His return to the top of the world of golf to win the Masters back in 2019. It's almost kismet that we're right in the middle of the Masters now. That was a great story. Loved it. But that is not this. This being the accident. I've been really, really bothered by what has been going on with his most recent issues and the supposed investigation surrounding the car accident. And this is not performative in nature. This is not me being dramatic. This genuinely angers me. You know the basics, but I got to review what was shared with the public. LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said earlier this week that Tiger Woods was driving at speeds of more than 80 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone in Rancho Palos Verdes when he wrecked his rental SUV back in February. Let me be more specific. Woods was traveling between 84 and 87 miles per hour when the car began to careen out of control, crossing over a median and hitting the curb on the opposite side of the road. The vehicle struck a tree at an estimated 75 miles per hour and was sent airborne. TMZ reported that the car's black box showed Woods accelerating at the time of the crash. Accelerating, not braking. Here's something that TMZ can't tell you, but I can. The crash site, just for context, is less than a mile from my old high school, South Torrance. I've driven that stretch of road literally for decades, more than 30 years, no exaggeration. It is steep in its downgrade, and it is winding. Accidents, they're pretty common, but not at 80-plus miles an hour. You can achieve 60-plus miles an hour by just coasting in neutral, and even that is tremendously unsafe if you know that particular stretch. What I'm trying to say is you have to be really trying hard to drive almost 90 miles an hour on that stretch of road, especially in an SUV with such a high center of gravity. I mean, like really trying to kill someone, either yourself or someone else on the road. You don't, quote unquote, lose control at almost 90 miles an hour on that stretch. Why? Because you never, ever had control to begin with at that speed. I'm saying nothing about this smells right. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just not believing the story that I'm being told. The sheriff reiterated that according to him, there was no evidence Tiger was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. there won't be any evidence if you don't look for any evidence. That's kind of how it works. It's not like they gave Woods a field sobriety test. Not they could have. I'm just saying they didn't. They didn't give him a breathalyzer. Woods says he didn't remember the crash, which says to me, memory loss, which says to the reasonable person, at the minimum, confusion. How they were sure the confusion was purely crash-related, I have no idea. Also, the LASD never tried to get a warrant to draw blood. So let's check the scorecard. No field test, no breath test, no blood test. So how exactly in the hell can you attest that there were no substances involved? Did you just take his word for it? Despite the forensic evidence? The forensic evidence which says he was doing almost 90 and didn't break at all? Authorities didn't subpoena his phone data to ascertain whether Woods was using a smartphone or some other way distracted at the time of the crash. Can we agree? That's not exactly a thorough investigation to come to the conclusion that the collision was, quote unquote, purely an accident, or there weren't contributing factors, be they substance or negligence. Can we agree on that? Tiger Woods was driving at more than 40 miles over the posted speed limit, and that is not in dispute. It's now a matter of public record. Under the California Vehicle Code, that could easily qualify for reckless driving, and a standard first offense carries 5 to 90 days in jail, accident or not. I want to know, who else can drive at 40 miles over the posted speed limit, hit a tree at 75 miles an hour while accelerating, and not even get tested to see if there were any substances or narcotics in his or her system? I want to know who that person is because I want to meet them. Who else gets that sweet deal? I mean, other than Tiger Woods. And yes, I know we can't look at this in a vacuum. The Kobe Bryant death pics are still a news item. That connects back to the LASD. Got it. Sheriff Villanueva got into it with LeBron James. I remember that too. Got it. You don't want the optics of seeming to have it in for a third black worldwide icon inside of 365 days. I got all of that. I'm not missing any of this story. But come on, man. Come on. I mean, he's already going to the hospital. He hit a tree speeding up to 75 miles an hour on the other side of the street for seemingly no discernible reason. The hospital's going to take his blood no matter what. You didn't have to release the toxicology to the public if you're worried about HIPAA or privacy issues. We're talking about whether a crime was committed. Is the LASD still really hiding behind the flimsy excuse that it didn't have probable cause, or that Woods confused the accelerator with the brake 40 miles per hour over the limit? A car in the ditch and a driver, though lucid, has no idea what happened. Nothing. No probable cause. Bueller. If you think that you or I would be given such latitude with so much daylight between the public story and the forensics, you would be wrong. Tiger Woods was done a solid. We still don't know why. And it's not enough to just say celebrity. That's the knee-jerk response. But celebrity alone doesn't explain this. The accident was so public in nature, broad daylight. Tiger Woods has no explanation, and it doesn't look like anybody's really looking for a believable one either. They didn't even give the man a ticket. Do you hear me? They didn't even give him a ticket. It's like the accident never happened. Outside of the crash and the rental car insurance claims coming into play, it never happened. Incredible. This is the Mo Kelly Show, KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Mo Kelly Show, and a lot of discussion in the past week or two about these vaccine passports. We've weighed in. We told you it was coming. We told you. And it doesn't matter which state they say that they're banning vaccine passports. If you've been paying attention, we've always had vaccine passports. And in fact, the vaccine passports, which are banned, only really affect the public sector. It doesn't really affect education. It doesn't affect the private sector. So you may get up and start cheering like, woo, no vaccine passports. No, not only will we have them, they've been here for quite some time. Let me just give you this. And Twyla, I don't know if you saw this. As of July 18th, 2018, all 50 states and D.C. require vaccinations for diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, polio, measles, rubella. 49 states and D.C. also require mumps vaccination and the varicella, which is chickenpox vaccination. 43 states and D.C. require hepatitis B vaccination. Alabama, Illinois, Maine, Montana, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Texas do not. That's just to enter kindergarten. How many folks out here enter kindergarten? All of us?
Oh, I know. I know. I have children, and they had to get all those before we did what? We're even able to enroll them in, kindergarten.
And you had to validate and verify that, didn't you?
Yeah, with, I believe it was with a card.
It was a card, otherwise known as a passport. But the reason why we're talking about this today is more and more universities, schools on the collegiate level, are saying out in front, you will not be attending this university on the undergraduate, graduate, or work here unless you have verification and validation of having been vaccinated for COVID-19. And here's the list as of this moment. It may change by tomorrow. There is Rutgers University, Cornell in New York, Ithaca in New York, Notre Dame, you know that liberal institution, Notre Dame, Duke University in Durham, Northeastern University in Boston, Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, Roger Williams in Bristol, Rhode Island, Nova Southeastern University in Broward County, Florida, Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, all states, all different political persuasions, if you will, St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and Syracuse University, and of course, Syracuse, New York. That's just as of this moment. And wait, Twyla, they're not ready. I want to hit them with this. And just in case they didn't know how this may affect them just locally on a scholastic level, let me take you to UCLA. This is for incoming students. Immune requirements are due as of October 1st, 2021. All newly admitted incoming UCLA students must provide documentation of vaccination or immunity to certain infectious diseases, including measles, mumps, rubella, you know, MMR, varicella, pertussis, and meningitis. In addition, newly admitted incoming students must be screened for tuberculosis risk by completing the TB risk questionnaire form on the ASH patient portal. Students found to be at high risk for tuberculosis must provide documentation that they have a negative tuberculosis test done within 6 months of entry into UCLA. Please be advised, new for 2020, as in last year, the seasonal influenza vaccine has moved from recommended to required for students who are learning, living, or working on campus. Twyla, none of this is new. None of it.
No.
It's a fake debate.
It's not. You know what I think even worse debate? And I got to ask this of you, a Christian. I keep getting these Facebook inbox messages and getting tagged in these posts by adults. People that I think are of sound mind and body telling me that this vaccine is in fact the mark of the beast. It is the beginning of the end, and that I should be bathing myself in the blood of Christ to protect myself from said COVID virus.
I have seen that, and I say this as a Christian specifically. The Lord made us the head, not the tail. In other words, he didn't create fools. He also created us in a world in which we would have these things available to us to help ensure our safety. It wasn't just sit in a room and pray and hope Jesus heals you. That has never been the case. There is a reason why we do have doctors, why we have always had nurses. Even the time of Jesus, you still had like apothecaries. This is not new. And to shun medicine and science when you have obviously bought into medicine and science just to even be able to get on Facebook or Twitter, because most of the people saying this did not go to private schools their whole lives. So they had to get these vaccines and vaccinations just to get in kindergarten, just to put their kids in. If you want to say that you don't feel comfortable with the science, I will hear that
statement, that argument. We can have that discussion. But if you're going to say that this is the mark of the beast, then you obviously don't know your Bible, and we can discuss the book of Revelation and which hand it's supposed to be on and whether it's supposed to be 666, whatever. We can have that debate, but that is not this. This is someone who wants to politicize this and wants to create a reason or excuse to not get the vaccine for political reasons, not medicinal. And I'll just leave it at that. We've been telling them to all of them. We told them about the cruise ships. We told them about arenas. We told them about air travel. And we're telling them about universities. You do not have to get the vaccine. But your enjoyment of larger society will be limited. If you want to wait for a couple of years to see if the vaccine gets better or they improve it or the long-term impact, okay, we can have that discussion. But if you want to talk about the mark of the beast or I'm not accepting a vaccine passport, well, you're not living in reality, and you're not living in America, because like it or not, they have always been here, and this is not anything new. For you to suggest otherwise means that you are denying established reality.
Heck, like it in America, try going somewhere else without it.
You can't.
Try going to another country right now without proof of vaccination.
You can't. And that's the thing why I don't understand where seemingly intelligent people who are world travelers should know better. You can't just get on a plane and go wherever you want. And you won't be after this. You will not be able to. And just go to any country you want without proof of vaccination. If you just want to stay in Florida or Texas and not go anywhere, that's your business. But you'll be limited as far as the places that you can go. You're going to have to choose. But I got news for you. Vaccine passports, however you want to demonize them, they're here, they've always been here, and it's not anything new. Just the political spin is. This is the Mo Kelly Show, KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.